and relaxed. The next day, we deservedly said goodbye to Chanvair Pushquin Gish Goger Unkvir Drobush Shan Tosilio Go Go Goch. Reverend Quinn, who was sure he had brought his Celtic sheep back to the Christian line, accompanied us to the train station, where Gareth and three of his friends helped load the skull into a sealed wagon, which would not be opened until London. Nevertheless, Mr. Challenger felt responsible for the skull. That is why he would not leave its side and even had himself sealed inside of his wagon. In addition, as he had told us at the time of our departure, Challenger wanted to propose to the British Museum that the dinosaur find, after a thorough scientific study, of course, should only exhibit in London from time to time. In fact, as we later heard, he was able to arrange that the supposed skull of the Red Dragon of Wales was also presented to the public at times in Bangor, Caernarfon, and in his home, Anglesey, in the coming months. Holmes and I spent the return journey in comfortable compartments, which I had earned. The physical consequences of the brawl in the Red Dragon finally became apparent all over my body, and every movement I made was accompanied with a pain-filled moan. "Well, you know, my dear Watson," Holmes scoffed, "why the Romans had trouble subjugating the Welsh, and why the Anglo-Saxons and Normans fared a little better." "Don't worry," I replied, "I learned my lesson. You will no longer hear a derogatory word from me about the Welsh, about their culture, their language, and their spirit of resistance. And by the way, not about their peculiar but excellent whiskey either." Holmes smiled good-naturedly. "I'm happy to hear that," he said. "Then our trip to Wales was at least not completely useless." "What do you mean?" I asked, confused. "Oh, you know," Holmes said with a playful thought. "If I think about it correctly, the Reverend Quinn and Mr. Challenger might have found the skull again without our help, at least sooner or later." I frowned. "Really?" But Holmes began to laugh. "But no," he laughed. "They are dilettantes. Without us, they would have been lost." "I don't know," I muttered. "It seems to me that Mr. Challenger is a capable, visionary, and courageous young man. He could make something out of himself. Perhaps we should put in a word for him at Mr. Thompson's. Assuming he finishes his studies in Edinburgh successfully, he could be a valuable asset to the scientific staff and the British Museum in the future. He'd probably be the right man to lead expeditions to unknown areas." "Possibly," Holmes replied. "Who knows? Perhaps one day when Mr. Challenger is a professor, he'll actually find dinosaurs living somewhere and therefore..."